It's food time. No. It's the food mensch. It's Arthur Schwartz. It's time. Hello, Arthur Schwartz, the food mensch.
Well, I woke up this morning thinking about eggplant, and I went to my computer to see. I mean, I have a couple of go-to eggplant things I do, but I thought, well, if I'm going to talk about eggplant, I should refresh my memory on stuff. And I go to my computer, and I think I probably have more eggplant recipes than I have anything else. I had no idea. But I do love eggplant, and this is the height of eggplant season. Not that we can't buy eggplant all year long these days, but right now, in your backyard, if you put in some seeds in the spring, you probably have eggplants. It's also, I have to say, of the moment in other ways. Next week, August 16th, or is it 15th? August 15th is called Ferragosto in Italy because everybody's on vacation in the middle of August. I'll get to my eggplant in a second. And one of the things that's made to celebrate the middle of summer and you're being on vacation is something called eggplant in chocolate sauce. And it's from the Amalfi Coast, originally not made with chocolate because it's a pre-chocolate recipe. Chocolate wasn't introduced into the south of Italy until the 1500s. And then it took over a lot of places. But anyway, it was not originally chocolate sauce. It was originally a sauce made with a liqueur that I actually have in the house called Concerto, and Concerto is based on roasted barley, like you use for making fake coffee, if you can't have coffee itself, and an array of spices, and so it's a spice-based liqueur. In any case, the eggplant with chocolate I thought was really a weirdo thing when I first heard about it, but in fact, if you make it right, it really is sensational, because the eggplant, fried, gets very creamy, and you layer it with a chocolate ganache of one kind or another. And in the way I do it, I mean, I haven't done it in years, but I used to do it, is with taking a Jordan almonds, the almonds coated with a different colored candy sugar coating, and I coarsely crush them and put them between the layers and on top. A lot of people just use almonds and candied fruit. There are a lot of variations on this, and it's still made. In fact, a Michelin-starred restaurant in the middle of the Sorrento Peninsula, Don Alfonso, brought it back in a streamlined version. When I say streamlined, is the original version, the one made even before there was chocolate, is double fried eggplant slices, and Don Alfonso makes it with steamed eggplant, significantly reducing the fat content of this dessert. I've eaten his version, and his version has a bottom layer of sponge cake. I've eaten his version. I mean, not to say it's not very good, but it's not what it used to be. And people still do make it, however, in various forms for Ferragosto. There are fireworks off the Amalfi Coast on August 15th, and people have parties, and this is the party food. You don't eat it much otherwise, although I think there are restaurants that still have it on the menu. Anyway, my go-to for eggplant, which I do all year long, actually, and I don't wait till summer, is to make baba ganoush. Baba ganoush is the partner of hummus. For some reason, has never become as ubiquitous as hummus. I mean, hummus you could buy in the supermarket. They have whole cases full of...
Sorry to interrupt. But at one point, yeah. You could do the same. I don't know, 15 some odd years. You could do the same with baba ganoush because I used to buy them both together.
Well, you know, you go to a supermarket these days, you see whole refrigerator cases full of hummus.
Right.
Sahara brand, other brands. I don't know what they're all called. I never buy them. And in all flavors as well. But Baba Ganoush has never, it seems to me, gotten to that level, but it's very worthy of it. And also, it's a low-carb version with the same flavors, meaning lemon, garlic. That's pretty much it, lemon and garlic. And mixed in. So to make Baba Ganoush, I roast whole eggplants. But let's start with the eggplant. There used to be a mythology about selecting eggplants. They were female, they were male. There's no such thing. They're all the same. They're all the same gender. So that's there's no use in trying to figure that out by the dimple on the bottom or the lack of dimple on the bottom. What you should look for are glossy, firm eggplant that still have green, what the technical term is calyx, that's the top part of the crown, so to speak, of the eggplant where the stem is. It should still be green. And if it's fuzzy, even better. That means it's even fresher. So those are signs of freshness, firmness, glossiness, and above all, a green calyx. So if you get a good eggplant, all you do is poke a few knife point holes in it, and I stick it in a 400-degree oven on a baking sheet. And usually, depends on the eggplant, but 40 minutes to an hour the most, you should have a thoroughly soft, collapsed eggplant. When you do, take it out of the oven, and what I do is I stand it up, so to speak, in my mixing bowl with a slit down the middle, and I let it drain. They often have a lot of water to drain. And once it's cool enough to handle, it doesn't have to be cool, but, you know, it could still be sort of hot, you can pick it up by the stem end, dispose of the liquid that drained out, and then scrape the flesh off the skin into your mixing bowl. And as soon as you do, squeeze in the juice of a half a lemon. This will keep it from turning dark. Side note, I still make every once in a while Romanian-style eggplant salad, and that often, if not always, turns black. And so it used to be called vegetable caviar. Remember that? It was a big thing 30 years ago. And it was nothing but eggplant salad. Anyway, if you squeeze a lemon in, it'll stay nice and light-colored. And then you mix in, and I do this, by the way, with a wooden fork I have. After scraping the eggplant into the bowl and maybe cutting it into pieces a little bit with the knife that I use to scrape it, I add a couple big spoonfuls of tahini, sesame seed paste, and some salt, probably about a half teaspoon of salt, and keep mixing it, beating it until it's a coarse mixture, not pureed. You can if you like. Some people like. I don't like it when it's pureed. I like it when it's a little bit chunky. And what else? That's it. Oh, garlic. I almost forgot garlic. These days I'm grating garlic, but you can just put in smashed garlic or pressed garlic. For a 1.5-pound eggplant, one, maybe two cloves at most of garlic is all you need. Taste it all. I don't put black pepper in because I often eat the baba ganoush for myself, but not for Bob, with Aleppo pepper, which I bought at great expense not that long ago, meaning like a couple months ago. And it was $12 for a little, not such a little, but a jar of Aleppo pepper.
Wow.
And I keep using it. I even put it on my pizza. And it seems like an endless jar of Aleppo pepper. So I'm putting it on everything, including my baba ganoush. And then if you want oil, not necessary because you have that tahini in there, and that's pretty fatty, pretty oily. But if you want, you can just drizzle a little oil on. You know, spread the baba ganoush out on a platter, put on your Aleppo pepper, or if you like, a pinch or two of cumin, I don't like, And I don't need that distraction of flavor. So that's another, I mean, that's my go-to. If I'm making Romanian style, all I do is season, I chop the eggplant, no lemon juice, but I do use a lot of garlic, and I do beat in olive oil. So for a whole eggplant, I would use about 3 tablespoons of olive oil, and it gets garnished, this is what makes it for me, with minced onion and minced green pepper. You could use red pepper if you like it better, which most people do, but to me the old-fashioned way was with green pepper, because way back when there were restaurants called Romanian steakhouses in New York, we didn't really have many red peppers. It was hot red peppers, but not sweet red peppers. So I don't know why, but eggplants are associated with sex. Any thoughts on this, Jill? Do you know that eggplant
is... No, I actually didn't know that.
Oh, well, these days, an eggplant emoji, do you call it? It signifies a penis. And then we had this whole thing about the sex of the eggplant itself. I think I need to discuss this with...
I think you've been watching too much TV.
Here's another myth about eggplant. I've been to Turkey a number of times, and the most annoying thing about... Well, now there are many more annoying things about Turkey, but in the days I was visiting, the most annoying thing was that everybody smoked. And I very distinctly recall eating at an outdoor restaurant where, and you, by the way, you didn't have to be outdoors to smoke. God knows what was going on in the restaurant. But there was a big terrace in this restaurant, and I was there with a Turkish friend. He was the former boyfriend of a New York friend. He very, very interesting man. He was a political columnist. He's passed away a number of years ago, but it could be from smoking. But, I mean, all through the meal, everybody was smoking on it. People actually smoke while they're eating. I only knew one person, and it was an aunt of mine, who did that, smoked while she ate. But anyway, according to our Turkish friend, it's okay as long as you eat enough eggplant. Meaning, there are more eggplant dishes in Turkey than you can think of. Imagining even, and they eat a lot of eggplant, and they think that at least the myth is that it balances out the heavy smoking. But we were even outdoors; we were in a cloud of cigarette smoke. But to say that, I have to say one of my favorite eggplant dishes is Turkish. It's the most elaborate eggplant dish I know too. Pardon my Turkish pronunciation, hunkar beyendi, and it means either, depends who you ask, the Sultan's delight or the Sultan approved. Now, the Sultan in question, there is an actual Sultan this refers to, supposedly, and he was inordinately demanding. And when he approved of this dish, it was really, he sent out, give the chef my compliments for inventing this dish. It really was meaningful. So I have made, in the past, I have made this dish many times. It was one of my favorite things. I figured it was the best to be made at home. I didn't know any restaurants then that made it anyway. And it's a lamb stew. You use shoulder of lamb. Gets cooked a long time with onions and garlic and tomato. It's a real nice lamb stew. And it goes on top of a cream of eggplant. When I say a cream of eggplant, you're actually going to make sort of a bechamel with pureed eggplant, and the final ingredient is cheese. A cheese, is it capulettieri? Cheese, I think it is. But a cheese very much like feta. And so you have this really rich, cheesy cream sauce of eggplant as a base. And then you put over the lamb cubes with this delicious gravy that's taken hours to come up with, and blah, blah. I remembered this morning when I was reading over my recipe that I made this on a ship once. I guess, you know, I used to do cooking demonstrations on cruises, and this was must have been a cruise in Turkey, because I do know more about Turkish food than I really deserve to, since I live in Brooklyn, where there aren't really many. There is one great Turkish restaurant here. It's called Taci's Beyti, and I do go there for certain things. I knew Taci himself years ago. Speaking of smoking, he was a chain smoker. He was cured of lung cancer, but then died of lung cancer. And I always will remember him standing outside the restaurant smoking. It's a great dish. What else? So another thing I do, I mean, I haven't made hunko bayendi, as I said, in years, but something that I found this morning in my files, I said, oh, yeah, and I made that last year, too. I call it caponata calabrese, because I learned it in the Sila Mountains of Calabria, where there are many, I would call them kiosks, along the side of the road, grilling sausage, and of course, accompanying it with peppers and onions, like we have here. I mean, I think that whole deal of outdoor, you know, we have festivals here, we're making sausage with peppers and onions, might have come from Calabria, why not? However, there's one place which is more than just a kiosk. It's an actual A-frame building looking very woods-like. By the way, the location of these places is in the Grand Sila Mountains of Calabria, which during the winter are places to go skiing. I ended up there because I was looking for a place in August, like now, to go that wasn't going to be murderously hot and humid as it is down in the plain where I'm used to staying, you know, in Salerno. So up in the mountains, I was told, you might even need a sweater at night, even in August. So, and that was true. So the town I went to was Camigliatello Silano, and this is a nearby village, Mocone, I think it's called, that has this A-frame, the snail, the slow food, and it is indeed slow food. And one of the things that it's slow food in the sense that there's one man grilling sausage, making up your plate or your sandwich, and pouring the water even. By the way, there's no bottled water in this place because the water that comes out of the tap is the kind of water they put in the bottles. So he's just getting it right out of the tap. But in any case, it's a slow line to get your food. And this is one thing that I really loved when I was there, and I have made it many times since. And I call it caponata, but I'm not sure what it was called. Franco called it there. But it's a mixture of onions, eggplant, and I use the peppers that we are call long hot peppers, you know, those slim green peppers. If you can't find those, poblanos are also good. But, you know, poblanos
are always... Not jalapeno.
Well, if you want, what you could do is use sweet peppers and then throw in some jalapeno. But the long green peppers are very common, certainly around this time of the year. And they're usually called long hot peppers or long green peppers. And poblano, I always assort with Mexican flavors, but they're perfectly good substitute here. And if you don't like hot pepper, I guess you could use, there's no reason you can't use, some kind of sweet peppers. But the onion and the eggplant are for sure, and a good amount of olive oil. So speaking of frying, and all you do is you saute your onions until they're tender, and then you add in the peppers and saute them for a few more minutes until they start getting nicely coated with oil. And then you put in the strips of eggplant, which I say strips because I cut the eggplant like a quarter inch thick or so, could be or so, and then stack it up and cut down into thirds. So you end up with strips, unpeeled eggplant, unsalted eggplant. You don't need to do any of those. These days, I was going to say, I should have said earlier, these days, eggplants are not bitter the way they used to be. I'm assuming that they've bred the bitterness out of most eggplants. But I do salt eggplant anyway sometimes. If I'm frying the eggplant, it does absorb less oil if it's been salted or soaked in salt water and then dried thoroughly. It will absorb less oil. That's not always my goal, to absorb less oil. But anyway, then so you throw the strips of eggplant in the pan with the onion and the pepper. And you keep cooking until the eggplant's very tender. For a whole eggplant, I'm going to use at least, I would say, a quarter of a cup of a good olive oil, and a couple medium onions, and a few, I don't know, not that many peppers. But it's a really good side dish, and it reheats really well. And even I can zap it in the microwave; it's fine. And it goes with any kind of meat, just plain old chicken. Of course, grilled sausages. And I, by the way, cook my sausage the way I learned from La Lumaca. I split them.
I was just going to ask you, okay.
Yeah, I split them that long way, mm-hmm. and I put them split side down in my hot cast iron skillet, and that's it. And I do have a weight that I like to put on top, but you don't have to. That squishes them into the pan. And that's it. Usually 5 minutes on the cut side and then no more than 5 minutes on the uncut side, and they're done. It's a very quick method as well. And they stay juicy. And a couple sausage like that and some eggplant cooked with onion and peppers suits me fine. Anyway, so that's just a few of the zillion million ways of cooking eggplant. I'm not a gardener, so I can't say, but I'm assuming eggplant plants are as prolific as zucchini plants.
I can't really answer that because eggplants is one of the things that refuse to grow here on Music Mountain.
Oh.
It's pathetic.
Oh.
And other people were having bumper crops, and it's just like, for whatever reason. So I don't have the experience that I would. The zucchini seem to have no problem with proliferation.
That's why we make zucchini bread, you understand, and we don't make eggplant.
No, it had gotten to the point where you actually had to give it away. Not baked.
Yeah, well, that too. I know zucchini, by the way, I used to say zucchini was the most overrated vegetable, but I don't agree with that at all anymore. I'm actually enjoying zucchini a lot.
Do we have time for a zucchini bread recipe?
I don't have one on my head for sure.
Okay.
It's not something I ever make. Every once in a while, I make carrot cake because Mr. Harned loves carrot cake. And if you want to, the recipe I make for that is Dory Greenspan's carrot cake, which you can look up online. Dory Greenspan is a hugely prolific and excellent food writer, baking, mainly baking, not exclusively. I think she has a brand new book out, too, which I think is all baking. But anyway, if you go online, you'll find Dory Greenspan's carrot cake, and it's really good, even without icing. I'm not a cream cheese icing guy. Too sweet for me.
Oh, no.
But this cake is so good, you'll eat it plain.
All right. Well, I personally, and I have a good friend who I've been doing this with for many, many years. She eats the inside, I eat the frosting.
Ah. Well, I mean, I know there are frosting people.
An arrangement.
My radio
somebody
wife,
here who
a daughter,
probably the best character
Liz Hamburg
in the history of the universe. So we'll put it up against Dory Greenspan at one point and see what happens.
Well, anyway, Joan Hamburg's daughter, Liz, who is old enough to know better, gets a can of icing for her birthday every year for many, many years because that's her favorite thing. I don't know. I don't even know what canned frosting to buy if I was
way back when that used to be a thing. I would, but when I'm talking when, decades ago, before it was horrified, let's just say. That's a verb.
It's all horrified.
But if she's still doing that, she some fortitude that.
Well, maybe I should ask Joan. Joan's birthday is coming up very soon. I have to call her and say happy birthday.
I would love to know the answer to that question, because again, long, many decades ago, it was something I would stand in front of the aisle and I'd say to my mom, "Can we just get one?"
All righty. Everybody have a great week. Stay cool. I think it's going to be easier this week. And don't forget your eggplant.
or Ferragosto.
Okay, take care. Ferragosto, right.
Ferragosto, sorry.
Happy middle of August.
Happy soon to be middle of August. Thank you, and love to you and Mr. Harned, and
thank
we will
you.
Talk to you.
Soon.
Yeah. That'll work. Or anon.
Anon. Okay.
All right. This has been The Food Mensch, Arthur Schwartz on Robin Hood Radio.